There we are. Well, will you turn, please, to Psalm 1? Last time I was asked to do a couple of these. We looked at Psalm 42, and I think 43, but I may be wrong. But anyway, I thought, well, why don't we go to the beginning? Psalm 1. And I want to set us some homework, all right? And I thought, please don't feel obliged, and you won't be put into detention if you don't do it. But how about us all trying to learn Psalm 1 for next week? Now, that would be very good. But if you're like me, that won't come very easily. But anyway, we can try to sharpen our dull minds. Psalm 1. Let's read it first of all. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Actually, verse 6, you could almost say, is a summary of all the Bible's teachings. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. When I was converted, in 1965, that sounds a long time ago, doesn't it? But anyway, I was converted in 1965. I was led to the Lord by my uncle in the Lebanon. And he sat down on a log in a clearing in the woods in the mountains of the Lebanon, and he went through various Bible verses explaining the gospel. And it was when I understood that Jesus had died paying for my sin, I thought I must trust him. And that day, I prayed and asked Christ to become my Lord and Saviour. Next week, that's 57 years ago. So, wow, that's a long time, isn't it? Anyway, the Lord's kept me going. But my uncle said something to me, which I've never quite heard anybody say, as he said. The next few days, he met with me and gave me some basics about living for the Lord day by day. And one of the things was, he said, Roger, you need to have a daily quiet time. And he said, you need a time in the morning when you read the Bible and you pray. Every single day, you spend some time reading the Bible and praying. Well, I've tried to keep to that. I haven't always kept to it, but I've tried to spend some time every day reading the Bible and praying. I'll come back to that in a moment. He then said something which I've never heard anybody else say, and I haven't kept to at all. And he said, Roger, you need to get a time and a place where you'll meet with the Lord every morning. And then he said, and never keep God waiting. In other words, if you say 6 o'clock in the morning, be there, not a minute past or 2 minutes past, but Alan Marsden time, 6 o'clock sort of thing, you see. And now I haven't kept to that at all. And Dot would say my life is incredibly irregular, but there we are. But I've tried every day to spend some time reading the Bible and praying. So I thought what I would do tonight is have a little look at what the Bible says about the Bible. And tomorrow we'll look, God willing, at prayer. It won't be quite the interactive sort of Bible study that Alan leads so well. It will look at prayer life of Moses, and then we'll have a time of questions at the end. But let's go to the Bible. Really, this word blessed is the man. I wonder what words you would use to, if you were sort of translating it differently. I think we'd probably say happy, wouldn't we? Or joyful. Or immeasurably receiving goodness. You know, blessed is man. It's interesting because, of course, philosophers have given a lot of time thinking about how can people be happy, truly happy. Well, we've got the answer here. And any other remedy or recipe will fail. But blessed is the man, of course, man and woman. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I'm sure you've all seen this before, but notice the sort of regression. Walks, stands, sits. So the influence of the ungodly is one that, as it were, slows us down and eventually takes the heart and life and verve out of us. So instead of walking, we're standing, and instead of standing, we're just sitting. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? Because we are constantly given counsel by the ungodly. Mm. On 1,001 issues, they tell us how to think, what to believe, how we should react, what we should think. And if nowadays, as we know, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, if you start to go contrary to that, then they're really opposed to it. They want us to have group thinking, and they don't want us to be detracted from it. But here's scripture is saying, no, it's not what Westminster or BBC or whoever it is. It's not what they're saying that counts. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And notice the negative here. We are taught not to be negative. You know, if somebody's critical, oh, don't be negative. How many times have we heard that phrase? I was privileged on a few occasions to do Bible study with a man, Dick Lucas. He's the vicar. He's now in his 90s. He's retired. Vicar of the St. Helens Church in the centre of the city in London, right next to the Gherkin. Huge church. And one of the occasions when a group of us were with him, he told us how he was doing Bible studies with David Suchet. Oh. Mr. Poirot, okay, Hercule Poirot, and how he does Bible study. And he said, the first time we met, I said to David Suchet, we're going to study John's Gospel. And he said, David, will you read it, please? Start reading it. So David Suchet opens his Bible, John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was... Stop, he said. Without him nothing was made that was made. He said, that's negative. Carry on. And as he carried on, Dick Lucas apparently kept interrupting, saying, negative, negative. In other words, John's Gospel, in fact the word generally, has a lot of negatives. And maybe it's the counsel of the ungodly that says, oh, don't be negative, accept everything, don't be critical. No. Here we've got a negative. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Now, there's a delicate balance here, isn't there? We want to be alongside sinners, to speak with them. But we've got to be very careful we're not with them to such an extent that we're being contaminated by them. And getting that balance is very, very... it's a delicate balance, but stands not in the path of sinners. We don't exempt ourselves, but we do come out from among them and be separate on lots of issues, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? I love certain funny television programs, but it's so easy for them to go into scorn. Scorn is a simple thing to do, and we've got to be very careful about that. And we're not to sit with the scornful. We move away from them. And then we have the contrast. We've got the negative, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Wow. To delight in the word of God. Let me ask you, I wonder if you delight in the word of God. I have to say, there are certain parts of the Bible I absolutely love. And you delight in. I love 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. I just think those stories of the kings are amazing. I love them. But then there are certain parts, say, the first few chapters of 1 Chronicles, a bit more difficult, where you get a lot of genealogies, etc. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Somebody said, my greatest delight in life is to be in a nook with the book. And who was it? The man who was imprisoned in the tower. Oh, I've forgotten who it was now, but apparently as soon as the sun rose and some light came through a lattice in his prison cell, he started with his Bible, and apparently he used to follow the sun round the room reading the Bible, because his delight was in the law of the Lord. If Bible study has become mundane for you, this is what I find helpful anyway, there is something that transforms sort of drudgery into delight, and I'd recommend you all get one. It's called a biro. It's very, very easy. If you get a little notebook and each day make a line or two, or a note or two about what you're reading. I find that makes all the difference, because instead of just allowing my eyes to go along the lines, and somehow my eyes can do that, but it doesn't get to my brain, I don't know why, I read a passage and then think, have I just read that? I don't remember that, so I have to go back. And but if you've got a pen, and you just jot something down in a notebook of a thought, an old truth, a fresh truth, or whatever, I find it really makes a big difference. And yeah, I have one Bible, this one, which I now can make notes in as well. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's the attitude that says, this is God's word. Every word of it is true. Every sentence of it is true. Every dotting of the I, every crossing of the T, it's all reliable. Let me bring my life into line with God's word. It is all, somebody said, it's all equally inspired, even if it's not equally as inspiring. But it's all very important. And Lord, I want to read your word this morning, and I want to delight in your law as I do. Now, this is in contrast to the man who's, ungodly and a sinner and scornful. No, his delight is in the law of this Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. It's a good thing to start the day reading the word. It's not a bad thing to put the word into your mind last thing at night as well. It's very easy, especially if you're having a sleepless night, and I know some of us do, it's very easy for our mind to wander on things that it shouldn't do. But to have the word there, maybe even, I don't know, get David Suchet reading the Bible, you can get it on YouTube, can't you? And just have that going into your mind last thing at night. And what does it say? If you're reading the word by day and then by night, what does it say? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Mm. Because trees can wither. I wish the one between Michael and us would wither. There's a huge tree and the ivy is all round it, but it's not throttling it yet. But anyway, the trouble is it's too near a river. The roots can go down and it gets nourishment. But whatever drought conditions may be round about, a tree by a river can soak up nourishment and moisture. And we'll be like that. Whatever difficulties we face, and we all face them, whether in society or in our individual lives, nevertheless, like a tree planted by rivers of water. And then I love this phrase as well, that brings forth its fruit in its season. I'm just looking round. All of us, yeah, all of us are over 21, aren't we, here today? Perhaps Susan's not, I don't know, but it's... no, we're all... We've had seasons already in our lives, haven't we? Mm. When we're young and sprightly and energetic and enthusiastic. And then those seasons begin to change. And, well, perhaps some of us are in, in the autumn, I don't say winter, but who knows? And Lord, I want to bring forth fruit in each season of my life. Right, youth has gone. Middle age, maybe not. Autumn years, winter years, who knows. But Lord, right to the very end, I want to bring forth from some fruit in this season. And I don't think we should ever begrudge the fact that we may feel as though we're in the autumn season or the winter season. Because that is a time when we can bring specific fruit of autumn and winter that we couldn't bring in spring and summer. So in every season of life, we're able to bring honour and glory and see, as it were, Christ radiating within us. A life of sort of faithfulness and delight in the Lord, having that sense of purpose for every day. Whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Wow. I don't know that we can always look to financial prosperity, but frankly, all of us here are pretty well off compared with many in the world, probably most in the world. Maybe we're pretty well off compared with many in the UK even. But nevertheless, there's a prosperity that is greater than just financial, isn't there? There's a prosperity of the soul. Mm-hmm. To have peace with God. Mm-hmm. To be able to walk with God. Mm-hmm. To know God's nudgings. And those... You'll understand the use of the word chance encounters. Mm. And Lord, that was just of you today. And I didn't plan that, and I couldn't have planned it, but you brought it about. Lord, I want to be, as it were, prospering in my walk and in my witness. And then he goes back to the negative again. They aren't godly, not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And we've all seen that, haven't we? Where wind just blows away that which is of no use. The chaff, it's just going to rot in the ground. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. I think that's a very, very frightening thing. The man I met today, I found it very disturbing, really. He was a church minister. I'd gone to somebody's house, who, a friend of mine, he's got dementia, and I just went to see him for a little while. But a previous minister of his was there, but he's walked out on faith and renounced it. Now, whenever that happens, I personally have always experienced there's been immorality in their lives. And so I then, a bit later on, when I knew he'd gone, I phoned up the couple and said, can I just ask you a question? You know, he says he's renounced the faith. That doesn't happen to a real Christian. Has he had affairs? And then the answer came back, well, yes, he has. And I thought, well, yeah, that's why he's renounced the faith, because it's not convenient to live immorally and yet say you believe. Mm-hmm. And but, well, I just said to him, I said, what about eternity? He said, oh, I'm very happy. But I said, what about eternity? The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. What an awful thought to be before Almighty God, who says, depart from me, I never knew you. The ungodly are like that. Now, they may not be thinking about that, but nevertheless, nor sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous. Just to say on this word righteous, I don't know, brought up in Methodism, this word, once I was converted, bothered me for at least 15 years, because I kept thinking, I'm not righteous, you know, I want to be, but I'm not. But it was a misunderstanding, of course. We don't earn righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. We are made righteous. And I can't believe that, you know. Susan here, she's righteous. Does she look it? Well, I'm not going to answer that. But she is righteous because righteousness has been given to her. And righteousness has been given to you and me. My sin was laid on Jesus 2,000 years ago. When I trusted him, his righteousness was laid on me. Sinners are not righteous and they can't stand with us. And then we come to this lovely. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Maybe at times you feel that, I don't know that that is true. Does the Lord know that I'm going through this? Does the Lord know the heartache I felt? Does the Lord know the difficulties, the uphill slog of life? Does the Lord? Yes! The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Mm-hmm. He knew it before we got there. And he knows it now we're on there. And he can look back and he knows all that's gone before. And he's not going to waste any pain or any tears. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Mm-hmm. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. It seems, doesn't it, when we read our newspapers and we read what's going on in the world and in society round about us, it just seems as though at the moment the ungodly are triumphing. It's not the case. They will perish. It will all fade away. Now, one last thought here. You go back to the very early years of Christianity. And there were Bible commentators in the 2nd and 3rd century, so my reading told me today, who looked at this psalm and they said, isn't this the Lord Jesus? Blessed is Jesus, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But Jesus' delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brought forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Who remembers those Roman soldiers these days? Who remembers the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Nor sinners stand in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, the Lord Jesus, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It is a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus. Whether it was designed to be that, I'll leave it to you. But it is a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus. So, how about trying? We've got 7 days so we can learn one verse a day and backslide on one day. underline the memory of it on the seventh day. Amen.